Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the fire.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Being Brilliant radio show, How to Ignite Your Life and Shine. This is episode number 8. My name is Amy Hackett-Jones. I'm your host for today. I am a leadership and life coach, and I focus on happiness and high performance. And I really look at what is the essence of how to be brilliant in day-to-day life. So the show really is all about a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. It invites you, the listeners, to step into the very essence of who you're being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of ancient wisdom teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills that they translate into actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into being the best version of yourselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, soul activators, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, as well as friends and family. Those who, as far as I can see, live life brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their light so others may do the same. So today, I have a very dear friend on the call. She is Blanca Rios. We've known each other for about a year and a half now and have come to really connect on a very deep level. And it's a huge privilege to have her here on the show. So Blanca is a women's empowerment coach and mentor. She's passionate about guiding women on their journey to discover who they are as they courageously own their worth, step into their power, and boldly create and own the life they desire to live, unapologetically. Blanca believes that when women are empowered and unleash their unique potential, they liberate themselves to live a fulfilling and joyful life, contributing to the world at the same time. So, Blanca, welcome onto the show.
Thank you, Amy. It's a pleasure to be here and share all this with you and your listeners.
Why, thank you. So let's just kick off with a little bit about you, just a little bit about your background, where you've come from, and why it is that you're here doing what you do right now.
Yes, I started coaching about 4 years ago, and actually I started coaching in the wellness area as a health coach. And The way I got there was I had gone through two divorces previously and previous to the whole coaching. And the last divorce ended up rather in a disastrous way, let's put it that way. And so At that point, I decided to move from Arizona, where I was living, and moved to the East Coast and just dropped everything and gave up on everything that I had, including a business and, of course, the marriage and so forth, and decided to start over, not really knowing where or how to begin. And I started to see where I wanted to go as far as another career or a business or what have you, and I started playing here and there, and that's when I discovered actually personal training and more of I had gained a lot of weight, and so I discovered personal training and running. I started running marathons and finally lost the 40 pounds, and at that point I realized that, yes, I had gained quite a bit, that it was baggage that I was carrying, and I needed to look inside rather than out in the external. I was looking for a fix outside of me and something to fix my life, if you will. And I realized through all this work that, you know, training and so forth, that it was really, whether I got another partner or job or whatever it was, it really, I needed to look within and fix that part. That's what I thought back then, to fix myself. And yes. Now, you know, I realize there's really nothing to fix. But at that time, I was really looking for something or someone to control outside of me or to fix myself. And so I started working with other women in the wellness industry and, you know, helping them lose weight or whatever issues they had. And I realized that it was really all the same. It was really whatever weight or whatever it is you needed to release, it was really starting from within. If you wanted to see a long-term result in that very physical example, if you will. And so I started then coaching in the wellness industry, and then my sister went through a divorce as well, and I helping her go through what I had just gone through a year before, I really got this passion for helping women explore who they are and really pick up the pieces of some of the lost dreams that we kind of bury. And that's how I got into coaching and empowerment coaching. And really my passion is to help women find their freedom, really, and know that they have potential, and it's all the answers are within them. And so that is a little bit of my story and how I am here now coaching women, which I love.
Amazing. So you said, quite a journey you've been on already. And you said a couple of fascinating things there. And terminology that you and I in the coaching world would know, but perhaps people who are listening and are not so much in the industry yet, or have not had a coach yet, might not necessarily understand. So I'm just going to go back to some of your linguistics here and get you to explain a little deeper what it is you mean. So you were talking about the 40 pounds that you had. You realized at one point that it was the extra baggage that you were carrying. What do you mean by that specifically? Because for people who are overweight and need to lose some, what would you, you know, what do you mean by that, and what would be perhaps an insight for them?
Well, obviously, on a physical level, it was the 40 pounds of weight. And yet on a more metaphysical level, if you will, it was the weight of all that I had been through. And I had, in hindsight, I had used the, I wasn't really, at that time, able to express all the anger and even hatred and whatever was going on as far as the divorce, and so I ate myself through it, if you will. So I expressed or suppressed my emotions even further by grabbing onto something external and finding comfort and numbing my feelings through something, through some form of gratitude, instantaneous gratitude, which was me, for me, was food. And so I didn't know that then. And afterwards, as you say, I realized that it was all this emotional baggage and all that I had suppressed. And looking back, it wasn't just the divorce. The divorce was the catalyst, if you will, to open up to all that I had been suppressing. As a child, I really didn't express myself very much. And so all those emotions and all those feelings have started to come up and started to bubble. And it's a challenge. It's actually a courageous act for anyone that wants to look at your demons, for lack of a better term. And yet, at the same time, it's also so liberating.
Isn't that just? Okay. So then you talked about that you needed, you felt like you needed, that you're looking outside yourself for a fix. And then you said,
yes.
But you realized there was nothing to fix. So just explain a little bit about what you mean by that.
Yeah, so when we're going through anything, whatever that may be, a challenging relationship or loss of a job or weight to lose or whatever that may be, we then try to fix or control the external, the circumstance, whether it be looking for another job or blaming the boss or the colleague or whatever, or the relationship and going through a divorce or whatever. And whereas some, like, let's take my divorce, where it was needed, it was something that, that was going to happen, yet had I not gone through the process, I would have probably been in another relationship already and been through a divorce. I had already done it. In other words, I had already divorced prior to that. So this
right.
is an eye-opener. And so you try to fix the external, and usually we try to fix the person or the circumstance. And when we go look at our life on a timeline, if you will, and realize that this happened, you know, 5 years ago or 10 years ago and yesterday or last month, and all those challenges or difficulties that we go through, and we always try to blame something outside of ourselves. And yet when we look at it, we can see that there is only one common denominator in every one of our experiences, and that is ourselves, yourself. So in your life, that's
yeah.
the only one common denominator. And so
yeah.
it's really that you need to fix, quote unquote. And having said that, it's a paradox because there's really nothing to fix. Your essence is really your authentic self, and there is really nothing wrong with you. And yet you've got to look within and see what it is that is triggering you to feel that there is something wrong with you or not good enough or unworthy or what have you, and
mm-hmm.
that you are needing to fix. And so when you take full responsibility for your life and whatever is going on, you realize that really the change comes from within. As we all know, be the change that you want to see in the world. We
mm-hmm.
most of us
yeah.
have heard that. And so it really is as much as common or as a cliche maybe as it may, we've made it or it may sound, it really is true that we are to change ourselves rather than the external. So if there's anything to fix, it would be that, and yet not really. So it's right. It's a paradox. It's a fine line. But I hope you get my the explanation there.
It's kind of like there's nothing wrong with us. We've just have the way I sometimes say it to people is we just have some unexamined thoughts. And usually we don't recognize that those thoughts are on sort of autopilot and repeat until
Absolutely.
Something like this happens.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. The essence of what we are is love, and it's perfection. So there's really nothing
yeah.
wrong or nothing to fix. Yet because of the thoughts that we carry, we feel that we need to fix some part of us that's wrong, and that's what makes us feel unworthy or unlovable or not good enough, or that something's wrong with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, listen, if anybody would like to call in, the number to call in is 646-716-7979. That's if you're in the United States. That's 646-716-7979 if you'd like to ask Blanca a question. Otherwise, feel free to look me up on Facebook, and you can send me a question in Facebook chat. So moving on then to the next part of my interview, I would like to look at just ask you now, you mentioned freedom earlier. I'd like to ask you, what is your dream for your life now and your business?
For my life, it is that continual exploration of myself and to allow myself to be more of who I am. And to, as I so often say, unapologetically be that, create my life on my terms and express that. So that is the freedom in my life. I feel that, as you mentioned at the beginning, when we are self-aware and when we make self-mastery a priority, we then liberate ourselves to create the life that we desire with power and passion and really living our full potential, unleashing that potential. And so for my business, it is along the same lines, guiding women to empower themselves, to know that they are courageous and that they are worthy and that they can boldly step into the life that they envision and they desire. And it's not only their birthright, but it's also their responsibility to live that life.
And when you say responsibility, I remember when I first started doing a lot of this work and my teacher talked about responsibility, I had the reaction that most people, I think, have when we talk about responsibility. Because it's in the general understanding of the word responsibility is kind of like when you're a kid and you spilt some milk or something and mom or dad says, "Who's responsible for this mess?" And it's almost like a blame or a shame game that we play, and that's the sort of generally understood interpretation of what the word responsibility means, but we're talking about it here in a different capacity. So how would you describe what you mean by taking responsibility for yourself, your life, and everything that is or isn't in it? How would you describe that?
Absolutely. I relate to what you just mentioned, that responsibility normally feels like a heaviness. For me, had that meaning. Yes, that was the meaning that I had about responsibility, was a heavy, a burden, a load. And being the oldest child, I think I felt really responsible in that sense as a young child. At any rate, I didn't like responsibility. I evaded, I ran away from it. And really, responsibility, when I was able to see and dissect the word responsibility and to understand that it's two words, response and ability. And so when you see that, it's really your ability to respond. So when I understood that responsibility is about your ability to respond to your life and to create that life, and it's not only... it's an honor, really, to have that responsibility, to be able to take your life and your life and create it as you would, knowing that you, as I mentioned earlier, you're the common denominator in everything in your life. And so whenever we see circumstances outside, if you realize that, can I change? How can I learn from this? Rather than pointing out and immediately start blaming others or the economy or the situation, you know, how can I make this work for me? What is the lesson here? How can I grow? And if we can come from a place of curiosity and wonder and ask, you know, how can this be helpful for me or for others, rather than why? You know, we always go to the why me and poor me, and that is more of a sense of a victim and poor little me, I'm helpless, I can't do anything, rather than shift it. And if you can respond and empower yourself and ask, how can I grow? What can I learn from this? How can I make it better, myself better?
Wonderful. That's such a deep lesson, that one, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Responsibility is really huge and at the core. I think.
Right. So I know you help women clear their limiting beliefs, their blocks, things that are in their way, boulders in their path, and that sort of thing. Tell me just a little bit more about what it is that you do and how you help them.
Sure. we go through a process to see what it is that may be blocking them or whatever it is that they are perceiving, because we've got to understand that, as you mentioned earlier, it's really all in our thinking. And mm-hmm. when we shift our thoughts or our perception, we shift really our world. And we are mirrors, so whatever it is that we are thinking, the world will reflect back to us. So whatever our reality, whatever, and I can say, if you look around you, and if you don't know what your thoughts are, and if you look around you, that's exactly what your thoughts are on a regular basis. And we are vibration, and so we emit that the thoughts, and in emitting that vibration, we create our reality. And so when we have something that we are not satisfied with, and we see perhaps a pattern of some sort that we keep living the same or similar circumstance over and over, maybe different names, different people, different places, yet very much a similar foundation. And so we keep repeating those patterns, and there's definitely a pattern of thinking that needs to be shifted. And it's a challenge to do it on your own when, first of all, don't know exactly what you're looking for. And it's really helpful when you have someone to guide you and discover for yourself and answer some questions for yourself so that you know what it is that that pattern is creating and what that pattern in thinking is. And so that's what I do. I, through a process of questions, we begin to uncover the beliefs, the blocks, both in belief and energetic blocks that may be keeping my client, the individual, from moving forward or creating that life that they really desire, or shifting that circumstance. And let's say a pattern of divorce, like I was, I had a pattern there. So you want to shift that pattern and begin to create a new reality for yourself.
Wonderful. And it is so possible. I know you've gone through it. I've gone through it as well. And creating that new reality is just so wonderful on so many different levels, as you begin to look at really what's possible, that you stuff that you never even thought was possible before.
Absolutely.
So that's on one level of the scale. So we know that they're feeling, your clients typically are feeling stuck. But what is their biggest pain point, and why then do they come to you? Because I'm sure there are people out there listening who do feel stuck but don't necessarily know why. So what would you say is their biggest pain point usually, and why do they come to you?
I work usually with women, and so they're usually at a place of discontent. Dissatisfaction, perhaps mm-hmm. feeling stagnation. It's a place of feeling almost lifeless. You know, I know I'm meant for more. Those questions or that feeling starts running. I know I'm meant for more. I know life can be more exciting than this. I know that I have dreams, yet I don't really know what they are or where they are. I knew I had them at some point. And, you know, what am I meant to do? And so it's that place of wanting more. And also perhaps in that desiring more, there's that feeling of also guilt or shame of,
right.
you know, maybe a programming of how dare you want more. You know, if you're uh-huh. blessed already with a roof over your head and a good job and a good income or whatnot, a family, how dare you want more? And so that's really their pain point of wanting to move forward, yet at the same time being pulled back by the patterns that we discussed earlier, and also the conditioning or the guilt and shame that may go with it.
Amazing, yeah. And I'm sure there are people listening who can connect with that. So, and what do they, what do they dream about then? So they're in this sense of discontent, disconnection, dissatisfaction, they're feeling stuck and stagnant. What is it that they dream about?
I think it's what we all dream about. At the end of the day, it's not really about a material thing, let's say a home, or even if you dream of it or you desire it, there's nothing wrong with it. On the contrary, but you want that, but it's not really about the home or the significant other or the car or a big business or whatever. It's really about the feeling that yeah. particular thing or event or circumstance will bring you. And so really we're looking for fulfillment. We are all here, you know, we're always looking for a purpose. And I mm-hmm. believe that our purpose is to live a life full of joy and really live a life and really become more of who we are or what we are. And so in that, of course, we do things that make us feel purposeful. Yet it's really mm-hmm. feeling that we all want that fulfillment and feeling that we're using our fullest potential. And tapping into that joy that at the essence, at the core, we know that we are. And I think we all know deep down that life is not about suffering. And yeah. So when we can accept that and acknowledge that and we give ourselves permission to, yes, I am worth, you know, going for it and living a fulfilling life, whatever that means for you. It doesn't have to be this grandiose thing where you go build a school in Africa or whatever. It's whatever makes you happy, life on your terms. It can be a very simple life, but it makes you feel at peace and happy and joyful.
Right.
And
at peace and happy. Those are my two key things.
Absolutely. At peace and happy, and you're in a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking of at peace and happy and these wonderful women that you coach, Blanca has chosen the most incredible song for us to listen to today. It's originally a poem by the wonderful Maya Angelou, and the song is sung by Amy Sky. It's called Phenomenal Women. I'm going to play it, and then afterwards, Blanca is going to tell us why she chose this song. I think it's very in tune with what we're talking about today. So here it is. Enjoy.
Phenomenal, phenomenal.
Where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. Cause I say it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the pride of my chest. As you please, and to a man the fellow stand or fall down on their knees. Then they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say it's a fire in my eyes and the flash of my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. And when you see me pass it, it ought to make you proud. I say it's in the flick of my heel, the bend of my head.
But I was up here dancing to that one today.
I know, me too. I love that song.
Isn't it just so joyful? So tell us a little bit then why you chose that song.
You know, I love Maya Angelou. She was my mentor, and I'm very familiar with all of her material. And she wrote this mm-hmm. beautiful poem, Phenomenal Woman. So I have it printed, and I have it in as bookmarkers in different books and so forth. I have it easily accessible to me. And I didn't know that it was a song that Amy had. Amy, what was it? Her last name? I forgot. But anyway, yes. I didn't know that that she had recorded this. And maybe about 3-4 weeks ago, I was watching something online, a video, and you know how YouTube puts, you know, little squares of recommendations of different things to view. And so that was on. And so I clicked on it and I loved it. I think there's another version by someone else, but I loved this one because if you watch the video, they're dancing tango, and I loved tango. And so it was a very sensual and beautifully made video. And so I love her voice, and I love it. I play it every morning. It's if you read, if you go to, yes, if you check out the poem and look up the lyrics, it's speaking about how phenomenal we are as women, and really as individuals we all are. And having worked with women, I know that so many times we put ourselves down as women. We think of ourselves mm-hmm. as perhaps less than, or then we tend to compare with other women. And so we think of ourselves as less than. And to simply, this poem talks about it's simply in the way that you carry yourself and what you are, who you are. It's not anything else, no accolades, no accomplishments. It's your phenomenal just being you. And so that's what's so inspiring to me. And as I said, I read it. I read it often. But when I heard the song, now I play it often and dance to it, pretend that I'm one of those dancers there.
Yeah. Wonderful. So that was Phenomenal Woman, written by Maya Angelou and sung by Amy Sky, and it can be found on iTunes. So to all the phenomenal women out there, go check it out and start listening to it regularly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to look now at your top, well, first and foremost, what is being brilliant for you, given that the show is all about being brilliant, what is it for you? What does it mean for you?
Being brilliant is really about being who you are. and really tapping into that potential and giving yourself permission to unleash that potential and boldly embrace your essence and say, yes, here I am, you know, like a little girl, boom, ta-da, here I am. And so I think that's really, I like to, a lot of times, use a little girl, and because
right.
I think we've lost ourselves. We tend to lose ourselves in the muck and the mire of adulthood or whatever is going on in our lives. And if we can, I'm a firm believer that our little girl is that spark that is so attuned and aligned with your dreams and your desires that perhaps have been buried. And so when you call forth that little girl, what did you like as a little girl? And you can unabashedly and unapologetically walk into a room and say, ta-da, here I am. And so I think that's really being brilliant and living your life unapologetically, whatever that means for you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And just to be really, really clear, when you say knowing who you are, what do you mean? Because I know people tend to think that they're their roles in life. So if you ask some people who are you, they say their name, they say that they're a wife or a husband or a mother or a daughter or a sister. So when you say getting to know who you really are and unleashing that potential, what is it that you're really talking about?
I'm talking about the essence that we are, and I may get a bit on the spiritual side here. We are all we are love. That's our essence. We are consciousness, and we are all equal in that respect. We're all the same consciousness. And so, yes, we can identify in this world as a mother or a sister or a teacher or whatever roles we play. We all wear many hats. Yet at the core, we are that essence of pure love, of creativity, of awareness. And when we can tap into that and know that we are more than enough, that we are already approved of, and and allow that and receive that, we give ourselves permission to then live a more joyful life. So we're all the same. We're all that essence, that love that our higher power is, or source is, the universe, whatever labels you'd like to use. At the end of the day, we're all just one, and that's consciousness, that's love, and that's the essence that we have to some degree buried, forgotten, and we have to remember that essence and live from that essence and create that. Yeah.
So to give our listeners something to walk away with, like a how-to or a tip or two, what would you say, you know, to step into that essence or to reclaim our power or to connect with our joy? Like, what would you say to give them something to walk away with?
I mentioned just a few minutes ago about that little girl. And when I mentioned that little girl, I really talk about, if you can go back and recall that innocence that you are, and that innocence that you remember when you were 3, 4, or 5 years old, whatever it is, and the joy that you felt when you were playing whatever it is you were pretending to be or be doing. And when we can reconnect with that, and we can begin to reconnect with our desires and our dreams, and finding that little girl is a way to reconnect. As I mentioned, that little girl is our spark. And when we can reconnect with that innocence, I'll call it innocence, and uncover those desires and really connect with those desires, then we begin to connect with ourselves. And if we can come from a place of curiosity, and wonder and enjoy and ask, I wonder what this is for. You know, if something's going on in your life, rather than, which is very easy, to go into that downward spiral and get all caught up in the circumstance and the muck and the mire. And if we can ask, I wonder what this is for, or I wonder what the lesson is here, or how can I grow? And I wonder how this will turn out, you know, and come from a place of wonder, just like a child. If you look at a child playing, a child is always playing and in the present moment, having fun. And even if, let's say, you have two children are playing, and, you know, they get into a fight for not sharing a toy or whatever, they'll get into it, and, you know, 5 minutes later, they're best friends again. So it's about, you know, feeling that, and then at the same time, releasing it and coming back to that spark that you are, and and aligning with the essence of what you are.
Wonderful. Oh, amazing. So if anybody would like to call in and ask a question, the number once again is 646-716-7979. And if you'd like to follow up with Blanca after the show, you can see her on her website, which is blancajrios.com. That's BlancaJRios.com. She's also on Facebook as Coach Blanca Rios. So that's where you can find her. And actually, today I have some exciting news to announce. Both Blanca and I have been invited to speak on something called the Devoted to Break Free Telesummit, which is hosted by a friend of ours called Salona Carlisle. And on all the posts around social media that we've been posting today, you'll find the links. There's also one here if you'd like it. It is bit.ly/breakfreesummit. So for the next 2 weeks, there are two talks every day. And my talk is released on Thursday, and yours is released, when is it, Blanca?
The following Thursday, on the 16th.
The following Thursday, the next Thursday. So if you'd like to sign up for that, it's bit.ly/breakfreesummit. So that's some pretty exciting news. I can't wait to start listening to all of the episodes and all the other people that have been invited to speak. So my last sort of questions for you coming up here are focused really on your top three insights. What would you be your top three insights in your, you know, in your expertise that you would like to share with the Being Brilliant listeners? What are the top three things that you'd like them to remember as they walk away from this talk?
Well, I feel that you want to reconnect with yourself, to know that you are already enough, that there is nothing to fix, and that you are powerful, and that you are meant to live a fulfilling life.
Amazing. That you're powerful, connect to your joy, and live unapologetically as well is your word. Like, I love that word, to live your life unapologetically, because we do as women find ourselves apologizing for existing almost sometimes, don't we?
Yes, I it's a word very dear and me to me. I think I always live my life apologetically. Looking for others' approval. And even direction as to, is this good enough? Is this where I should go? Is this what I should do? Almost walking on eggshells, afraid of not being approved or criticized. And unapologetic, when I discovered that word, and I realized that it's for me, it was very freeing. I think I didn't even know that I was living my life apologetically, both making excuses for myself and also apologizing for whatever I said or did so that others would be approving of me, or I would be in a pleasing mode, if you will. And so when I discovered that word, it was very freeing to know that I can do anything unapologetically. I don't have to ask for anyone's permission. The only person I need to ask permission from is for myself. And when I allow myself to give myself permission and allow myself that freedom, then a whole world opens up of creativity and newness, curiosity, and potential. And with it, of course, it comes fear and the doubt and so forth. And that's where you come back to that place and shift that perception of, is this real? Am I coming from a place of love, or am I coming from a place of fear?
Right.
And shift that doubt. Yeah. So yes, unapologetically is a big word.
Yeah, it's huge, isn't it? And on the theme of apologetically or unapologetically, I know that this is something that you and I have both talked about over the year and a half that we've known each other quite a bit, and it's the word resistance. And I remember hearing a long, long time ago, resistance is futile. And I guess back then I just didn't really know what they were talking about, or at least I didn't see how I resisted stepping into being a bigger part of myself, stepping into the bigger part of myself, should I say, stepping into my essence. Is there anything for people out there who are perhaps already connecting with their inner child, but perhaps or even connecting with a coach or teachings or that sort of thing? Is there anything around resistance that you would like to share? Of how to, how to be with it, perhaps how to start letting it go, that sort of thing. Is there anything there that you'd like to share?
Well, boy, do I. resistance, as we've all, most of us have heard, whatever you resist, persists. And when we are in a place of resistance, we are not allowing whatever it is. Let's take the example of a feeling. When you're feeling angry or whatever, and you're feeling that feeling, yet you do not want to feel it, you want to run away from it, or you want to numb it, we usually go to a distraction of some sort. It can be eating, it can be watching TV, Facebook, whatever it is, it's a distraction to resist that feeling of that emotion and suppress it. And so when you allow it and say you're feeling angry, you allow the feelings, you feel them, you don't necessarily act on them and go banging. You may scream into a pillow or something like that, but when you allow that energy of that feeling to flow through you, and if you can just pause for a second and take a deep breath and allow all that anger to come up and feel it through every fiber of your being, and then you can release it. It releases on its own. You just let it go. You allow it. And so when we are resisting, we are blocking whatever it is. In this case, I use the example of a feeling, but it can be the example of your own potential. When you are not going or moving towards what it is that you know is innately yours or your desire, you are not allowing that woman to blossom. You are not allowing that bud to open up and blossom. So it's about surrendering. I think that surrender is not giving up. Surrender is more of opening up and allowing to see a new insight, a new perspective, a shift in energy, allowing that blossom, that flower to open, rather than keeping it tight as a bud.
Right.
There's a beautiful quote, and I'll probably slaughter it, but you know which one I'm talking about, don't you? When
Marianne.
Yes. Do you know it off the top of your head? But it's basically when the bud was so tight that it was more painful for that bud to stay as a bud so tight than to open. That's when you open. And so when you realize that it is more painful, because sometimes we're in a place of comfort, not sometimes, all the time. We want to be in a place of comfort, yet our growth and our life is really at the edge of our comfort zone. So when we are in that place of comfort, resisting change and not allowing that change, until we realize that that is more painful, to stay in that same place is more painful than to actually step out, as fearful as it may seem, and grow and open up, then we can begin to let go of that resistance. Yet it's with that surrender, it's with that willingness to open your mind, your heart, and open up and allow.
And you're so right and so bang on. And I know that I couldn't have done that without a coach. And also without a tool, you know, a go-to tool that allows you to go back to it time and time again. Now, some people like to visualize. Some people visualize perhaps a rosebud that's closed and visualize it opening. I know a tool for me, and I've shared this with you, that works quite often is the Hawaiian meditation Ho'oponopono. Is that something you would, you know, is there something that you have as a go-to tool that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. The Ho'oponopono is a Hawaiian practice, and there's four phrases to it. It is, I am sorry, I forgive you, I love you, thank you. And I've seen in different orders. I usually start with I love you. I usually start with I love you because I want to open up. I want to open myself up to that love.
Right.
And that can go for, you can use that for yourself and for anyone or anything. When you're feeling that resistance, you can begin to say these four mantras, and you can start noticing your energy shift. You can also simply use the word stop, and it's an acronym. So S is for stop, T is for take three deep breaths, O is for observe what's going on, just take three deep breaths and observe, and pause, and perhaps ask yourself, is this true, or, you know, whatever the circumstance may be, just pause it, and then proceed with a more open mind and a clearer point of view, if you will, and that will get you out of that muck and mire that I call, and because it's like, when you are looking at a picture, let's say, a photograph of a close-up of a flower, and it's so close that you only see the middle, the center. And so maybe you do not know what it is. Yet when you see the full picture, then you realize that it's the flower. And so in much the same way, when you are in the midst of whatever's going on, it's really challenging for you to shift your energy or your perception. And so when you can allow yourself to pause and take a deep breath and listen to your heartbeat and notice that in that very moment, in that very breath, everything is okay, then you can allow yourself to perhaps shift that perception and that vibration. and and see it differently.
Fantastic. Wow. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add? Because we've got 4 minutes left, so it's about time to share your handles again. Blanca's website is blancajrios.com. You can find her on Facebook at facebook.com/coachblancarios. And also don't forget that we are both speakers on the Devoted to Break Free Telesummit, which starts today. So you can go there with bit.ly/breakfreesummit. So yes, that's it. What a wonderful, wonderful interview. Thank you so much, Blanca, for being here.
Thank you, Amy. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed it. And I hope your listeners did as well.
Yeah, and that phenomenal woman song, oh, I just love it. I'm going to go listen to it again now. It's so uplifting.
Really inspirational. I love it.
Yeah, it is. Well, thank you very much. It's been a huge pleasure. I know I'll talk to you again soon. And thank you to all those who've been listening. My name is Amy Hackett-Jones, life and leadership coach for happiness and high performance. And you can find me at www.amyhackettjones.com. Thank you so much. It's been a huge pleasure. Over and out.
Thank you.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.